Welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study for the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study. My name is Rick Utzler, and I'll be engineering this little broadcast. And we have both Megan and Robin with us tonight in Grace Ranch, Texas. How are you guys doing?
Just fine, Rick. How are you?
Doing well. I should say, how are you gals doing, correct?
This is probably grammatically correct.
Well, I'm going to back out and turn it over to y'all. Go for it.
Thank you, Rick. And welcome, everybody. Tonight it is just Megan and I, and we're going to hopefully finish the book of Galatians. We're in chapter 6, and Megan, if you could read the first verse there.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Okay, so here Paul is addressing believers, brethren, and he's addressing the issue of somebody is in a fault here is a sin. It's and if they're overtaken in it, sometimes the person's overtaken and just needs help to get out. Sometimes they're overtaken and don't even realize that they are in the midst of that. And it's happened to all of us. It will happen again. So ye which are spiritual, If you understand the word, if you walk in the spirit, if your hope is in Christ Jesus, then you restore the person. You restore him in meekness. And that restoration, whether the person is just overcome with guilt or needs to see where they are so that they can then be restored, either way, it's restored through the power of the gospel. That's the restoration. It's not through beating somebody up or making sure they know what a terrible sinner they are. It's to let them know that the power of God and the power of the blood that Jesus shed for us is greater and is not need not separate them. And then it goes in there with the spirit of meekness, because we ourselves will need the same restoration or help. Times. I mean, we know that. It's not like we're any better than another because of the place they find themselves in. And the lest thou also be tempted there, you know, to come in judgment, it will be judged by the same judgment with which we give. So if we come in that sense, not in the spirit of meekness, with a desire to restore them into their proper place in Christ by his blood and his grace, then we're going to find ourselves in a similar place. Megan?
Well, if you remember last week, we went through Galatians 5. And the spiritual here, ye which are spiritual, is talking about those who are, one of the definitions is non-carnal. In other words, you're walking after the spirit, not after the flesh. And so if you keep that in mind, chapter 5, verse 26 says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. You know, like you were saying, not provoking, not envying, just in meekness, giving them some help along the way, some light on the subject, some edification, some correction, you know, as the Lord prompts you in that situation.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about walking in the Spirit, it's something that you do by faith, in the knowledge that his faith, that which he promised that he can do, that he will perform it. So it's never about how great you are anyways.
Yeah.
How great you are resides in the carnal, in accordance with that definition, not in the spirit. Because in the spirit, it's a recognition that you aren't great and can't do it, but you believe he is able to do it. And so we all can struggle with that truth at times, in many ways. And it, in fellowship in the spirit, one either receives the exhortation of God that delivers us from that struggle, or we are the ones that should be giving it, one way or the other. I know personally that there are times when I just need God's help, and the confession of that need brings the help. Other times I can know the truth and walk in it. I experience both. And sometimes the Lord is my helper, and sometimes a minister is my helper in the Lord. But either way, and it can be a small thing, like you can be overtaken with feelings of unworthiness. You can be overtaken in an outward sin that we would all recognize. You can be overtaken. And the feeling of unworthiness is going back under the law. So all of it resides in that place. But the restoration is to bring us back into the knowledge of the salvation, which is our only hope.
Another one is the feeling of being overrun, of not being able to do everything that you think you need to do, which really comes to unbelief. If the Lord is a task for you to do, you are well able to do it.
And we obviously litter our lives with many tasks that are not, he hasn't called us to do.
Sure.
But either way, our hope is in him, that he is able to teach us these things, help us to let go of those things that bear no good fruit and actually weary us and do us harm. He's able to bring us unto the knowledge of him. But all of these things take place in the spirit, and the proof of it isn't in the flesh. So if you find yourself talking about what you do and how you are, that's carnal. When you find yourself rejoicing in what he has done, that's that the spiritual walk.
Yeah, the restoration is to faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, period.
Yep.
And that there's nothing that separates us from that. So, verse 2.
Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of God.
Well, what is the law of God? Christ, it is actually.
Sorry, that's Christ. to love him and love one another.
Yeah. And so this burden here, and I bring it up because a couple of verses down we're going to see the word burden again. Totally different definition. This one is a load, a weight. And we see that on each other, where people are carrying things that God isn't calling us to carry these burdens, but that's where we can come alongside and help carry them for the person, stand with them going through it, bring again the exhortation for their sake, but we can have the hope for them when they lack the hope for themselves. We can sometimes actually do something so that they can be relieved of something that at the moment they can't carry. We can help them in other ways if they are in a place of need. It's a matter of loving them. And even as when we know we have things that we have to do or have to pay or have to whatever, and like you were saying, sometimes the weight of these things can wear you down, and sometimes a sister or brother comes in and helps lift it off. I know in the camp kitchen sometimes, sometimes it's just right to help with dishes because you have the camp kitchen ladies weary. It's not like they can't do it. It's not like they're begrudging it. It's just that there are times when they have worked hard all day, and to have somebody take some of it off is a blessing. And so it is with all of us. But it can be financial. It can be a variety of things.
Time.
A ride. But that is the love of God, where another person's needs are no less than your own, and your attention to them is no less than your attention to your own. Doesn't mean you do everything for somebody, but you're aware of it and seek to do that which you have opportunity and is of the Lord to do. Okay.
Three?
Yes.
For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden.
Thank you, Megan. So here, you know, we've just gone down about the restoration in the spirit of meekness, and to bear another's burdens. And then it goes on, for if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And that's an interesting one, because if we're honest with ourselves, we've all thought ourselves something when we were nothing, every one of us. But you hear it. You hear the conversation of people, and they're in a state of deception, because the things, sometimes it can be hard, but what we think is good so often we find out is vain, not profitable in the Lord, not a blessing to those who we are thinking we're such great blessings to, and in fact it's just a building ourselves up in pride about how great we are.
And the one you deceive when you think that is yourself, into thinking more of yourself than you ought to.
Because
if you're thinking right of yourself, then you will look on others in a spirit of meekness. But if you're thinking more of yourself than you should, as it's saying here, and being deceived, you're not going to be looking on another man's needs.
You know what it reminds me of is a scripture where Jesus talks about the people that come and say, "Lord, Lord, look at all we have done for you." He said, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity," or pride is what iniquity is, "you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." And then the ones who were his servants come, and they have no idea what they did.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an interesting thing, because if you start your day and put it in the Lord's hands, the battle then is to trust him through the day that he actually can take it and do with it as he will. And if you don't mind, I'm going to use an example in your life, because it was one that I heard loudly, and that's when you prayed that you would have a testimony to Dr. Knowlton, or your words would minister the Lord, and you came out and were beating yourself up about all the things you should say, only to find out that you didn't believe God was able to do it. You see, and we have to learn to walk in that faith, because in ourselves we don't see it, we don't know it. It's a walk of faith.
I thought it would look different.
Yeah. Oh no, when I say I heard it, it's because that hit home with me, you know. And I know when I went down to take care of my mother, I said to Steve, I said, Steve, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he goes, sure you do. You go down and serve her. But this is what he said that is in the same line that really struck me. He said, and if our God isn't big enough to be able to use you to minister to him or her, why the heck are we serving him? You know what I mean? And that sounds flippant, but you see, he's there to work that work. It's our job, if you want to call it a job, to believe him for it, notwithstanding what you see in yourself or don't see in yourself. It's a choice of believing him, period. So those are two examples. So then you go down here, let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoice in himself alone and not in another. And you figure here, the Apostle Paul, who we all esteem highly and rightly so, the man was a servant of God whose testimony of that service is something we should all aspire to do likewise. So if you were a Galatian receiving an epistle from the Apostle Paul, you could think you were somewhat. That's not your work. That's the Apostle Paul's work. You can come to all the TFM services. You can be a member of Fisherman Ministry. That isn't necessarily your work. You can know Davey and have been with him, or Steve, when they've performed truly miracles. What does that say about you? Nothing. We have to follow their faith. And their faith is that faith that believes God. And he then manifests through them. And it's not based on them thinking well of themselves. It's based on their choice to believe God, period. Hence Mark 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And then there's the whole listing. It's not follow them that are great, them that are strong, them that only do right. It's them that believe. And that's really what this is talking about. Prove your own work. The proximity or the knowledge of another and the acknowledgement that it is of God doesn't have anything to do with you.
This reminds me of let every man work out their own salvation and running the race. This, your own work, is, it's you, not you against someone else. It's you, really, if you will. It's not against yourself, but it's something that's particular to you. And when you get to heaven, the Lord's going to look at you and say whatever he says. Haven't been there. But I hope he says, come on in, good and faithful servant. But this reminds me of that.
Well, and you have to figure that the battle really is to believe him, period, because we are beset all around with doubt, with unbelief, sin. And those are actually weeds in the garden that need to be pulled. So, and then for every man shall bear his own burden. This was the second burden I was talking about, and that is a task or service. So you see, each of us have a place and a task, a job, a service to do in Christ. Some of it is in a practical sense. We have a division of labor at Grace Ranch to an extent. There's overlaps, and it's not like I can't cross a line when appropriate. But we all have responsibilities. But we also all have responsibilities in the Lord. And there are times and places when God calls us to say things or do things. And we're to bear that and do it. And we can only do it if we believe him. And faith worketh by love. It goes back to that spirit of meekness where you do it in a hope. Always in hope, you know.
6.
Yes.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Okay. So let him that is taught. Now, we should all have teachers in Christ. And we have some specific ones. And we also are taught one from another. But this is really talking about the person that ministers to you the Word of God. And you communicate. This is really a financial communication, a practical communication, a supporting communication to him that is your teacher, to him or her, in all good things. So this isn't just now and then, but it is a recognition of really where your heart's at and how much you value the things of God versus the things of the world, because it takes it's where you make and where you put your things, who's the owner of them and who's the beneficiary. The kingdom of God, the body of Christ, or you. But it says here, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. It doesn't qualify it. It's a statement. And then the reason why I had you read the next is it says, don't be deceived, because God isn't going to be mocked. He is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. If you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. It's one that we all have to wrestle down. We all have to wrestle down periodically in ways, but it's one to get wrestled down. And it is the Word of God. It doesn't qualify it or give any wiggle room. It's the Word of God.
And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not.
Okay, stop there, because that one really goes, don't be weary in this. Don't get tired. Don't give up. Don't wonder. Don't say, but I have no reaping. Because if you don't, you shall reap. That can be, really, you think in the context that this is being spoken, the one who taught is teaching you. If you won't weary in well-doing, if you'll communicate unto them, if you'll acknowledge that they are bringing to you the Word of God, even though maybe it hasn't borne that fruit in you yet, if you won't grow weary and know that there it will bear fruit, it shall bear fruit. Just in the Spirit it will, let alone in other areas of your life.
And of course, the other aspect is, don't weary in well-doing. Don't weary in believing the Lord, for in due season we shall reap the life everlasting just talked about, if we faint not.
And so if we faint, and you know, that fainting doesn't necessarily mean we remove ourselves from fellowship or from coming to church, be it online or in person. It just means we cease the fight of faith and the obedience to it. Because faith, you know, it says faith without works is dead. Now, that's not the works of the law. But you can't say you have faith and then there's no evidence of it in your doing, like what we read a few verses ago, and in your conversation. It'll be evidenced. Doesn't mean you're not a sinner. Doesn't mean you don't fall. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but it will be evidenced.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Okay. So here, as we have opportunity. Now, that's an interesting one, because some of it we just know. And some of it, but sometimes the Lord has to kind of kick us in the butt to recognize there's an opportunity to do good. And here it says, unto all men, it leaves none out, but especially to the household of faith. So those who are in Christ Jesus, they are the priority. They're your brethren. They are the children of our Heavenly Father like you. So they hold a higher place in that doing good.
You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand.
I'll just let you stop there. This is obviously very important to Paul, that they hear this. And he's taken the time, and whatever else that many had to take, to write this down himself. Now, don't let that be confused with it being Paul's epistle authored by Paul. It's the epistle Paul wrote, authored by God to these people. And, you know, Paul, in his time, we see a record of his community as someone who taught the Word of God. We are taught in like manner by people in the here and now. There's just not always a written record, though there are some, because we have some on the website. A Vision of Two Revivals, a variety of teachings. We have the promise and stuff like that. These are things authored by God on the website, current time living people with us today. But this is something that is incredibly dear to Paul, that these people turn back for their good.
There were times I don't at the moment remember which letters they were, but some of Paul's letters were not written by his hand. Someone else wrote them. He told them what to write.
Right.
And like he's saying here, in some ways, this is the message he has for the Galatians has been a tough one, because they've been bewitched. They heard the gospel and now they've been bewitched by somebody turning away from the gospel, thinking they were doing right. So he's taken the time to what's the way to say it? There isn't anybody greater at this time than Paul to write to them and show them. And he has done so.
You know, it's interesting when you bring that up, because it shows how easily people can ditch the Word of God because it didn't come from so-and-so. So, you know, say Silvanus was the secretary to Paul's dictation on other ones. There would be some that would say, I don't have to listen to Silvanus. Paul's my minister, you know.
Sure.
And that would be to their detriment, because they would then not hear that which the Lord had for them. And it's just like when Jesus said to his disciples, those 11 prior to Paul being called, who the same thing is true of, if they don't hear, can't hear you, they can't hear me. If they can't hear somebody Davy has put or sent to bring a word, they can't hear Davy. They deceive themselves to think they do. If people couldn't hear those whom, like Timothy or the like,
yeah,
they deceive themselves to think they can hear Paul, because Paul sent them. And because he knew they spoke the same thing, so why would you say, I can't hear from you, but I can him, when they're speaking the exact same thing? We need to recognize we need to hear from those whom God has put over us. And without a doubt, in this ministry, there's more than one, but the two that are like Paul and Timothy are Davy and Steve. plain and simple, period. And then hopefully there are others that one also needs to hear. Well, I know there are. I won't say hopefully. But those are two that if you have any doubt about hearing them, then you don't deceive yourself.
As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh.
Okay. Now, you know, circumcision isn't a thing we wrestle with today. Maybe there are some who are listening that do, that may have come, you know, be Jews naturally, and they need to hear the thing about circumcision. But circumcision here, too, is really the law and the justification of the flesh, which there is no justification for. So, as many as desire to make a fair shoe in the flesh. This is being somewhat in the flesh, showing off, so to speak, doing your good little things to make people think you're a good little person or something. And you want others to come into obedience to your definition of good. Why? You know? So that they can glory in your flesh, so you can be the fruit of their labor. But this, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. The thing about persecution for the cross of Christ is you don't go about trying to do the things that people then will esteem you for. You do that which is right and true, and you do it as a sinner, not as some person that's elevated and above everybody in the natural. And that's the offense, is that a person like me or a person like you can be reconciled to a holy God when, look at us, what do we have to show for ourselves? And what makes us being able to be in that place? We don't deserve it. I mean, that would be the condemnation. The truth is, it's the truth. But that's the beauty of the gospel. It has nothing to do with our deserving. It only has to do with whether we believe us undeserving people, believe him for what he has done for us, plain simple, period. We don't become deserving all of a sudden. We do, though, become his children, and he sees us as that. He doesn't see the flesh, he sees the spirit. Our struggle is not to see the flesh either. But we have to stand in that when we're accused by most, because they don't like the fact that none of us are good enough. And we prove it, if we will, because we're not saying we're good enough. And that's the offense of the cross. It's all on the Lord. We could do nothing to be admitted into his presence. Nothing. We can't do anything. Never will be able to. But he made a way for us through the death of his son. And that's why we are there. But that's an offense. People like to think more highly of themselves than others. And when you get a lowly people who are in the right place, they hate you. And they don't keep the law either, but they're a law unto themselves, you know. Their judgments are righteous and true, and therefore God must think so too. You know? And, you know, I mean, we were saying it before, we all sometimes find ourselves thinking we're righteous. I mean, but as we went over last week, a person who walks in the Spirit doesn't give place to that. Doesn't mean that they're not confronted with it. Doesn't mean they don't find they've done it. But they don't give place to it because they know what their hope is and it's not found in them.
But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world.
Okay. So, God forbid. May it be as far from me as possible that I should glory in anything except for what he did and what he is doing in Paul at this time. Same with us. God forbid that we should glory in anything save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he did. And then he goes in, and this is a statement that Paul made. It is not necessarily something we can just say because it's in the Bible. It's something we have to do something about to say. By whom? That means by Jesus Christ. The world is crucified unto him and he unto the world. So he has cut off his flesh and he serves God. Even though his flesh is right there seeking at all times to bring him down and bring him back into captivity. He's no different than the rest of us. But you see, when it's by Jesus Christ, you can do it because your hope isn't in you, so your failures don't dissuade you. Your hope is in him who is able. And that's all he wants. God forbid that he would glory in anything else.
For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
Okay, so in Christ Jesus, that's a place. It's a place we are by faith, because he said it. And that's what water baptism is, when we die to the world and are translated in the spirit into his body, which is where we dwell, even though we seem to be dwelling right here looking at each other at Grace Ranch, you know. Yeah. And at that point, nothing, circumcision, the law, good deeds, the pretense of love, the pretense of kindness, of affection, of all of that kind of stuff, that doesn't avail you anything. The only thing that does is that new creature that is in Christ Jesus, that is walking after the Spirit, meaning walking after the things of the Lord and away from the things of the flesh. But a new creature, that's the new creature. It's totally separate from that which we've known until this takes place.
And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God.
Okay. Now here again, you know, Paul is beseeching the Galatians to turn back. And he's ending with it, those who do, as many as walk according to this rule, on them, peace be on them. That reconciliation to God, that lack of war between God and you anymore, the peace that comes with that cessation of war, and mercy, which we need because we fall short of this walk, and upon the Israel of God. And the Israel of God are those of like faith of Abraham, who believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It didn't say Abraham was righteous. It was accounted unto him for righteousness because he believed God. He believed the promise of God. He believed what God said. And his walk proved it. And part of that proof was not just what he did in the sense, because you can see that he acted in faith in many ways, but where he came to, that fullness of faith where he would even sacrifice his son because of the word of God. That was not the end of his conversation because he lived decades on, but that was the end in some senses, because I say that because God said, now I know you will withhold nothing from me. He proved him, and he was proved to be just that, a person who believed God. go ahead.
I was going to carry on.
Oh, I was just going to say, so these things that Paul is giving in of God, that which he has to give in his authority, is for those who walk in that new creature and not after the law and circumcision and all these deeds of the flesh.
From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
Okay, and this here really is talking about the fact that Paul was beaten, he was stoned, to death. He was bitten by a viper. I mean, his body bore marks of what he had passed through in his service to God. And don't trouble him anymore. He's preached the word. It's on you now. He's proved himself. He's proved his works. Hear him and do likewise.
Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Now that's something that is a wonderful thing, because that grace is, makes up that difference between where we are and who God is. And it's not a grace upon our flesh, it's a grace with our spirit. And it, the Bible says in James, God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble, which implies that the humble, the very fact that to be humble means that you recognize you don't make the grade, so to speak, but you trust God and press on because you know that he is able to do, to bring you to that same place of Abraham in all things. I know I can myself be troubled knowing where I am in a way, or wondering where I am on some things. I haven't been fully tested. Mm-hmm. Every day, in a way, one proves. I have other days to live. I have growth to be had, in these things. But, brethren, now this is speaking to those in Christ Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And that is something you can sink your teeth into and hold on to and have hope because of. But brethren, be a brethren or a sister in that. But in him, in his body, knowing that he is able to perform that which he promised, and press on without excuse, without complaint, without justifying why you are who or what you are. There's no excuse, because in Christ Jesus we're a new creature. In Christ Jesus we have a different Father, a perfect Father. In Christ Jesus he says we can do all things. In Christ Jesus he says, if you're weak, say I am strong. In Christ Jesus we have a new way that we can walk. And if we want to hold on to the things of the past, we can't walk that way. If we'll be able to let him go and know he's bigger than all that and bring deliverance, he can do a work. You've got to believe it, and you have to quit blaming anything, anyone, or your own self. In Christ there's only hope. In Christ there's only victory. Let us learn to walk in that. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank those who have joined us. I see that Lou has. Hello, Lou. And I'm wondering if Chris is your wife. But either way, welcome, Chris. And I hope you all will join us next week. I don't know where we will go to next, because this is the end of Galatians. But brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of our spirits. Amen.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.